Hour number two of our broadcast, want to get caught up on the text line. We'll start off talking about Cam Newton, and we'll get to more of your calls. And I knew this story about Jim Acosta would really get people fired up. I posted this on my social media page and Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. And I made the point of putting on there, this decision was made by a Trump appointee. Because I think that's interesting. Very interesting. I started off talking about Cam Newton. Interesting text here. Oh, yeah. Praise Cam Newton. He's not white. Huh? Cam Newton makes $27 million a year, assuming this costs $15,000 to do. It's the equivalent of a person making $50,000 a year giving $27 to a church. I'm guessing lots of listeners are spending about, you know, more of their money on shoeboxes and meals for their community than this. Wow.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Right? Yeah. Got to be able to praise good things when they happen, people. Well, he could have afforded more than that. Really? Come on. Another person saying here, kudos to Cam. It takes a village. And we have this. I'm sure you will beat up Trump again today. What's new? Really? This is really sad. Another person would like to know, what are my Thanksgiving plans? Hopefully some restful time with family. No matter what PR crap Cam Newton does, if he really wants to be a true model for our youth, he needs to come clean about the NCAA violations at Auburn and Florida. It's so easy for immoral people to get what they want. They've cheated the system to get what they want. Our politicians are crucified for their past, and our athletes are forgiven because of their courage. Get real. What's wrong with this picture? Okay. We were talking about the recount underway in Florida. I was raising the question, have these people figured out, learned from their mistakes going back the year 2000? This texter says going back to 2000, I would argue they've got it extremely figured out. This is a strategy. I see what you're saying there. Vince, if they steal Florida, I hope the people take to the streets and make Antifa look like choir boys. Really? That's what you like to see. Okay. This person would like to know which party controls the questionable counties in Florida. Also, here's the thought. How about the candidate, his election fund, and the party's election funds have to pay when they call for the frivolous recounts versus the taxpayers? That's likely to get the counting done on time. Ridiculous. Garbage. Vincent, appears Broward County voting machines are held together with rubber bands and chewing gum and are probably made in China. It's Jim out of Easley. Takeaway from Florida, manual paper ballots are not the answer. Vince, you've brought up an excellent point concerning the Florida vote. If two candidates each has 49% of the vote, and you find 30,000 more votes for one candidate, you should have counted 150,000 additional votes, and the total votes for both should rise. Why is this not happening in Florida? What are the odds of finding votes for only one candidate? Well, they're very low, as you found. This is not about recounting. It's about political parties raising more money, both sides for the future, and ambulance chasing lawyers, billing hours. Can you imagine how much money they're going to make off of this? No matter where it goes. I love when folks who usually have no regard for military reference them for the late mail-in ballots. Oddly, the military is usually very punctual and precise and often vote Republican. But they are the justification. Really? Really? So, Vince, will Judge make Trump invite Acosta to the Christmas party at the White House as well? I don't see that happening. Another person saying Trump should ignore this and let this case go to the Supreme Court. All right. A person raised the question, what party, who put him in office? I've answered that. Donald Trump did that. What is temporarily reinstated? It means reinstated for now until this case can be fully heard. So the case has been accepted already. But in the meantime, this man is supposed to have access. And failing to give him access would put the president in a precarious position, because he could be found in contempt of court. I would restore the press pass of little Jimmy and then have a room with a large baby bed set up for him to sit by himself with a one-way monitor. No questions for you, Jimmy. Hopefully the president will tell the judge he has no authority to direct readmitting Acosta. Thanks for your opinion, but keep it. Gag Acosta, tie him to his chair. Really? Tie him to a chair. That's great. If it is a right, why are there press passes? That's a good question. As long as Trump is not revoking all of CNN as a whole and only the one reporter, I don't see how they can claim any kind of suppression of the press. So it doesn't matter how Acosta treated the intern, just like Bill Clinton and his intern. Ooh. Vince, let's go forward with this new info. The Democrat Party is enlighten us all for all future presidents, including any Democrat ones. And someone else suggesting this judge will be retiring shortly. CNN was not banned, just Acosta, with good reason. There's no constitutional right for a reporter to be present in person at a news conference. Another person saying they would end all news conferences and only give hand-picked individual interviews. There's a certain decorum and etiquette when dealing with the presidency of the United States of America, whether you agree or disagree with the man holding the office. Just a sampling of some of the perspectives that have come in. Man, this text line, it's scrolling away. There's no way I'll get to all of your texts, but pretty much most of you are aghast at this ruling by the judge. Let's quickly go to Jim in Lancaster, South Carolina. Got about a minute, Jim.
Okay, good. The ruling by the judge for the due process clause, there has to be a law or a regulation violated for the due process clause to be enacted. What law was violated?
Hey, that's a very good question. When you do hear that phrase due process, you think of a law being broken, right? What is the law? So this is going to be interesting. I thanks for your call there, Jim, out of Lancaster. I raised the question, what's the legal basis for this? And he's saying he was not afforded due process. Due process for what? You know, was there a law broken by kicking him out? I'll be curious to find out. Isn't it absolutely horrendous what is developing out in California? The deadly wildfire in Northern California, the death toll is now up to 63 people, 63 fatalities. And that's not the end of this story. Adding to this, officials have also raised the estimate for the number of people unaccounted for. Earlier in the day on Thursday, they said 130 people were missing. 130. Now they have boosted that number yesterday evening to 631 people. 631 people unaccounted for. What's especially sad about this is how many stories I've heard about older people who just simply could not get out. And you wonder, how many of these 631 will ultimately be found dead? So we absolutely need to continue to pray for the folks out in California, for firefighters who've been fighting this thing now, just day after day after day. They can get this thing completely under control. We've been talking about the breaking news that occurred in the last hour a judge making the ruling, as I mentioned, Judge Timothy Kelly, who is a Donald Trump appointee, restoring the media pass access for Jim Acosta of CNN. Let's go out to a call from Rick in Mount Pleasant. Good morning.
Hey, Vince. How are you doing this morning?
All right, sir.
That's a subject that's slightly different from the Acosta fiasco, I'll call that. But there is a big issue in Concord right now that the parade organizer for the Christmas parade tomorrow, Kadarius Events, had banned the flag in the parade except for one. And no one else could display the flag except ROTC. And that has caused a big ruckus here in Kadarius because he got away with it last year, but somebody twiddled on him this year. And people are really riled up about this.
What's the reason behind this?
Supposedly, he thinks that the flag should not be part of Christmas.
Okay.
And, you know, that gets me, too. We have a mutual friend here in Concord. I won't say his last name. His first name is Philip. And
okay.
You might remember him.
Yes.
But he has a voicemail from this guy bragging about he calls the shots, it's his rules, nobody else. And that was his rule for it until the ruckus came out.
Oh, boy. That is something incredible. Are you able to get access to this recording?
Our mutual friend Philip has that recording.
Interesting. Why don't you hold on the line, in fact, and this might be exploring a little bit. Pass on some information to us so we can follow up with you on this. This is a little bit bizarre. Willie, good morning.
Hello, Uncle Vince. Listen, I've got a great idea. First of all, I disagree with the callers that Trump should stop doing press conferences. How else would the Late Show host have material to entertain us? Number two, do you remember back in the day when Obama had a beer summit with the cop?
Yes.
Okay, here's a suggestion. Let's call Sean Hannity and let's get Trump and Pence and Jim Acosta sit at the White House in the lawn there. And all they got to do is sit there and tell Trump what a wonderful person he is, what a great job, America's great again, all this nonsense. Have a wonderful weekend. I love you today.
You know, that would be interesting for them to have their own little beer meeting. It's kind of interesting. I want to draw your attention to something because we were talking earlier about elections. And I came across an article that I think expresses where I am and a concern about what is possibly ahead. And maybe a good starting place for this should be a message that a friend of mine sent to me on social media this morning. Now, I'm not going to mention her name. I'll mention her first name. It's Kathy. And I think maybe the best way to answer Kathy is with an article, portions of an article I came across that really expresses something that I've been talking about for quite some time. Here's what she said. Morning, friend. Listening to the podcast preview, and I want to challenge you. By the way, I don't know the context or what I was talking about in this particular day. But anyway. It's not Trump's fault. He is a distraction. Take it up with the media. Any nicer, more normal Republican would have been eaten alive. The hate and disdain in this PC culture requires an extreme like Trump. He doesn't cause it. He answers it. We as Christians and people with sense should be very concerned about what happens when he leaves. I think anyone else will get treated worse and run over. The Dems on the extreme vote to push hate and moral decay. They're unable to disagree civilly. This is a double standard, a mile long. While I don't think Trump is emotionally intelligent, I think he's strong enough to endure and speak up. Maybe inappropriately at times, shaking my head. But the alternative, I fear, would have us with no progress. Sadly, it's what our culture has devolved to. Well, here is, I agree with some of the concerns that are expressed here. But there's an article that was done in National Review, which I think is very insightful. It's called The GOP's Orange County Problem. Think back to the 1980s. Ronald Reagan, Who was the last president to win California? The first line in this particular story, and I'm going to post this on the Facebook pages for both radio stations. The author of this piece is David Bahnsen, or Bahnsen. You never know these newspaper people, these pronouncers. I've long felt both Republicans and Democrats, their interpretations of the 2016 presidential election were wishful and did not match the evidence. By the way, I skipped a line. Republicans need to win back the suburbs to prevent a 2020 disaster. Republicans said President Trump's sweep of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Michigan meant there was a new kind of working-class, blue-collar GOP voter who represented a sweeping paradigm shift in the American electorate. This interpretation had some support. No Republican had won Pennsylvania or Michigan for a long time. That candidate Trump had to run an inside straight with these states to win was never really in question. But that he would do so is always thought to be a long shot. When he pulled it off, his supporters were understandably emboldened. But there were a few caveats that never really got due attention amid the Republican excitement sparked by that Rust Belt sweep. Most important, Trump's Midwestern victories were about as narrow as could be. Out of 4.8 million votes cast in Michigan, Trump received 11,000 more votes than Hillary Clinton. Did you realize that margin was that close, guys? 11,000 votes. In Wisconsin, 23,000 votes out of 3 million cast. In Pennsylvania, 40,000 out of 6 million votes cast. A win is a win. But with wins that narrow, it would be wise to temper the political conclusions one draws. I will tell you the concern as we continue the broadcast. Thinking ahead. We've got to do some thinking ahead here. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program. I've been sharing with you a very insightful article done by National Review. It's talking about 2016 and, for that matter, 2018, the midterms. And he's saying both parties, if they're wise, will look in the mirror. First lesson, Democrats, don't launch an outrageous character assassination against an innocent man. Pervert justice and decency and wave it around on national television as a means of blocking a Supreme Court justice. The major wins of election night for Republicans were in the U.S. Senate, where they picked up Democratic seats in the red states of Missouri, Indiana, and North Dakota. At least two of these three would surely have stayed blue if it were not for Democrats' decision to drag the Kavanaugh fight into the mud. Think of the national conversation we would be having right now if the Democrats had held on to these three seats. Pending the results of the ongoing Florida recount, we might have been looking at 51-49 or 50-50. Instead, we're probably looking at 53-47, GOP-controlled Senate. The outrageous behavior of Democratic extremists was one of the biggest unforced political errors in recent memory, and it did not even succeed in blocking the wildly qualified Judge Kavanaugh from being confirmed. Now many of you will cheer. Yes, I agree with all of that. But here's the part that may not go down so well. The lesson for Republicans is much more significant and much more obvious. Republicans were spared an even rougher election night by the fact that many of their losses took another week to become official, and by the aforementioned Senate wins. But Republicans still lost seven governorships, somewhere between 35 and 40 House seats, and two purple state Senate seats, Arizona and Nevada. Those losses entirely due to the alienation of one critical demographic. Please listen carefully. Suburban Republicans and independents who are repulsed by the style of Donald J. Trump. Orange County, California. Ronald Reagan country. Reliably red for my entire life. this writer says. The fact of demographic change has not hurt Republicans' voter registration advantage. It's still around 10 percentage points in two red county districts that look set to send Democrats to Congress next year. The fact is, a significant number of center-right, fiscally conservative, suburban, upper-middle-class voters have found the present message of the Republican Party repugnant. Elsewhere in the country, these voters carried Republicans to victory in 2016, even as Hillary Clinton became the first Democrat to win a presidential vote in Orange County since the Great Depression. The factors at play in Orange County, a microcosm of the factors at play nationwide. The question for Republicans is, what can we do to solidify the working-class white coalition President Trump has built without repelling more moderate, independent, and suburbanite voters who are crucial to both parties' success? To make this as clear as it can be, any belief Republicans can continue to have electoral success nationwide without both sets of voters is utterly hogwash. If they find a way to thread the needle, 2020 becomes a very interesting proposition. Given the increasing possibility, Democrats could nominate a progressive extremist to face Trump. But if Republicans can't, if center-right suburbanites are not won back to the party, election night 2020 will make the GOP's midterm defeats seem painless by comparison. I think David Benson makes a very good point here. Now, the reflexive reaction for so many is, oh no, he's just saying things, bad things about Donald Trump. The point of this is, you've got to think beyond just the base. Keep in mind, many of the people who voted for Donald Trump voted for Barack Obama last time. What if we have another attractive flavor, at least to these people, that comes along in 2020? This is why I've made the argument repeatedly. We've got to see people bound to ideas and principles and values, not to a personality. And to further answer Kathy's question and her message to me over social media, this is a lot of what I'm concerned about. She's concerned about what's going to happen after Trump. Well, we need to be thinking about that now to build a coalition of people who are bound and committed to ideas and values, not to a person. Because once that person's out of the picture, what's going to bring all of these people together? That's my question. It's got to be more than a personality. Texter says here, Vince, what do these suburbanites find repulsive, the GOP's message or the messenger? That's a very good question. We ought to be asking that question, don't you think? If center-right California voters are offended by tax cuts and improved economy, record employment, and border security, they aren't on the right. They're leftists. Come on. See, this is the kind of false narrative that people put together. Yes, I'm sure people are very encouraged by the positive things in the economy. But you don't have to take garbage. You know, it's kind of like you come to me and say, hey, here, you've got to take all of this crap along with these good things that I'm giving you. And I have to embrace them and enjoy them. And sometimes, in the process of the good things that are offered, we distract people by some of the crap, and it may be against their own best interest. But it doesn't negate the fact that people are making this decision nonetheless. You may disagree with them. You may not like what they are concluding. But you have to realize, not everybody is like me or people who I associate with. Just something to consider looking ahead to 2020. Coming up, we will take a look at the day in history, and we'll talk about a death of note. One of the things I find interesting, and I'm sure many of you think the same, it's kind of sad to see people that you become familiar with a lot of times in your childhood. And person by person, you see these people passing away. It's kind of sad. We've got another such person to talk about as we continue the broadcast. Stay with us. Final stretch of our Friday broadcast. Go out to Jim. Good morning, Jim. Hello, Jim. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I've got you.
Yes, sir. I was wanting to talk to you about that Acosta credentials being revoked.
Yes.
Well, basically, from what I remember years ago, news agencies and stuff had to submit applications to the White House. The applications consisted of a security clearance and all and screening process that they went through. On that application, if I was one of the White House attorneys, I would pull the application from Mr. Acosta, look at the very end of it where it states on there that these are a privilege and are to be and can be revoked at any time by the issuing agency, which means the White House can revoke it, and there's nothing he can do about it. The judge is wrong in that process.
So you think there needs to be some, well, you think there's already legal language there to buttress this particular argument?
Yes, it's in the application. If they go back and look at it and read it and pull it, he's subject and he has to sign, because every person that submits these applications submit it for their credentials. It states on there that they are subject to be revoked at any time for any reason. And there's nothing that they can do about it if it is done.
Yep.
And from what I understood is CNN has an application for several people on file. Each individual has to submit that application process to get those credentials. And from what I'm understanding is, according to that judge, it's not CNN that got the whole thing revoked. In other words, not all of their people were revoked.
Just one individual. Offices. Yes.
Yes. And his application would have on there that wording that it has to be a privilege and it can be revoked.
Yep. It's I think there's a fair argument that you have presented there, and I'm bewildered. I really am. I'm kind of puzzled here. Where in the world do you find the legal argument that anybody is entitled to a media pass? I don't understand this at all. Now, I can understand, if he, issued a ban, no CNN people can come in or whatever. I could see, some sort of sweeping move like that getting rejected. This one, I fail to see the legal argument. Just don't see it there. Let's zip down I-85 to our good friend Lonzo to take a look at the day in history. And I'll warn that some of the items here are kind of obscure. Well, we'll just say they're some challenging questions on the list. How you doing today, man?
So you're saying challenging for a person of my intellect?
Challenging for any person, including myself.
How about Charles? Could Charles get it?
I don't know. We'll see if Charles can, because Charles can probably outdo all of us on this, partially because he's older. That helps.
I've never met Charles, but I could just tell that.
You need to. We've got to get everybody together at some point. We got to do a party, a Vince Coakley radio program staff party.
You could buy us dinner or something.
Yeah.
You just never know. You just never know.
I'm thinking about just showing up in Charlotte one day.
You should do that. That would
be
great.
Surprised.
Let's work on this. Well, 1864, who was the person who led the army to begin the March to the Sea in the Civil War? Who was that famous general? 1864.
Robert E. Lee.
Sorry about that, man. Anybody in here want to guess?
Sherman?
It was Sherman. General Sherman.
No, my Yankees.
1907. I hope I give you a good clue here. The 46th state in the Union. They were bound to join this country sooner or later.
Oklahoma.
I did it well. Thank you very
That's
much.
That's probably the best clue you've ever given.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. These countries established a diplomatic relationship officially for the first time since this country changed through its communist revolution. What are the two countries? 1933, pre-war, communist country, and
USSR.
And the United States. I'll give that one to you.
I was getting ready to say the United States.
Sorry about that.
I realize we're running out of time.
Trying to guard time here. 1945, 88 German scientists arrived in the U.S. They brought a hoard of secrets from what group? German scientists. You are correct.
I was going to say they made Captain America.
Yeah, there you go. And how many of you remember this?
Welcome to Hee Haw, starring Buck Owens and Roy Clark.
We got the news that Roy Clark, legendary singer, multi-instrumentalist, with an ear-to-ear smile, who headlined this hit show, Hee Haw, nearly a quarter century, passed away at the age of 85, died in Tulsa, Oklahoma, complications from pneumonia. Did you watch the show growing up, Lonzo? I know you're not a country music fan, neither am I.
I did, because I am told that one of our cousins was on Hee Haw.
Really?
Lulu.
Lulu Roman?
Supposedly my cousin.
Really? Wow. Okay.
My mom could have been making it up. I don't know. That might have been her way to get me to watch the show.
Okay. That is pretty cool. How about you?
Oh, man. Every Saturday night at Grandma's.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't miss it.
Believe it or not. Hey, I'm actually a black man. Our family, we watched the show. What? It was fun. It was a fun show to watch.
You're black?
Black? Come on.
I know. What a shocker.
No.
You guys have yourselves a great weekend, and God bless you. Take care.